Heavenly Father, Lord, I come as a little child into your presence. Lord, I thank you for the great honor and the privilege to bring and share your word with my brethren. I recognize my limitations, inabilities, and frailties. And so, Father, I dock entirely under the covering of your mercy, under the covering of my fathers. Grant me fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and upon my lips, so that, Father, you will make me a pure chalice and cause your word to flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it come forth with power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, Lord, let it do an internal, eternal work in my heart and in the hearts of all of my brethren, in the name of Jesus. Help us, O Lord, that as your word goes forth, Lord, our wombs will be open, including myself, so that, Father, Lord, this word will be mixed with faith and it will take us to a higher degree of knowing, a higher degree, Lord, of being persuaded, a higher degree, Lord, of obedience, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray under the covenant of our fathers, we come to pray, Lord, let this word be backed by the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere it goes throughout the earth, so that, Father, under the covenant of my fathers, yokes will be broken, blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears will be unstopped, and strength will come to our feet and our ankle bones, enabling us to be doers of everything that we hear, so that we will not hear the word in vain, but we will bring forth fruit that is well pleasing, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I ask for mercy to be faithful, to be concise, and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, but as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. I lay aside confidence in my preparation. Help me, O God, to seek the honor that comes from you alone, and to speak not from myself, but of all that you inspire and direct, in the name of Jesus. We declare thy kingdom come. Let all of your will and your purpose be done, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The title of this word of exhortation that God has put in my heart is Full Agreement with Our Prophetic Destiny. Full Agreement with Our Prophetic Destiny. Pastor was preaching, 10 days ago, and when he was preaching about life in our mortal body, he mentioned that some of us are not persuaded at all. And some of us are only partially persuaded. And it struck me. I said, Lord, where am I? Lord, help me to be fully, fully persuaded. To be able to want the glory so bad you can taste it. You know, to really, really desire more than anything else. You know, and definitely compared to Pastor, I can see that he's far more persuaded than I am. So definitely there's room for improvement. So I said, Lord, help me. And it was in the presence of that this word came out. Amen. So God has a glorious purpose for us, and we must be agreed with him. You know, it's like an army. When an army is marching on a parade, you have the general or whoever's in charge overall, you know, standing at the box and looking at the order of everyone in the army. When they take attention, they take it together. When they mark time together. When they march, when they say right turn, everybody moves together. There is absolute unity and synchrony. And that is what the army of Zion is all about. We have to be in order. Everybody has to be moving at the same time. And to do this, we need to have the same training. Amen. This training is important. So when we have the same training, the training is to give us the same mind. And then the same mind will produce the same action. Amen. And I trust that God will help us in Jesus' name to take us from one level of unity to another higher level of unity in the name of Jesus. Unity of thought, unity of purpose, unity of motive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, now God states clearly in Amos 3:3 that two cannot walk together except they be agreed. So I went to the dictionary. And the Bible says, dictionary says that agreement is harmony in opinion or feeling, or a negotiated and typically legally binding arrangement between parties as to a course of action. So that means agreement is two things. There is a legal aspect to agreement, okay, where we define, you know, the direction and the course of action to which we are going. And then there is a harmony of opinion, which is in your mind, and feeling, which is in your emotions. And what I saw is that, of course, you know, we're in a covenant relationship with God. The word covenant has been interpreted treaty, is interpreted arrangement, is interpreted, you know, in different forms, you know. So it's basically an agreement between two parties. So our covenant with God is a spiritual agreement that we have with Him. And that agreement is that we are going to become like Him. That's the agreement. You know, the agreement is that we are going to become like Him. Now, in the process of becoming like Him, He has agreed and has already gone ahead to provide everything we need to become like Him. And then when we become like Him, we will inherit His glory, which we had before Adam sinned, and then establish His covenant upon the earth. That is the will of God. Now, this covenant is administered through words. Look at Isaiah 59 verse 21. Let's read it together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's read it together. Say, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit, that is what? Upon thee. And my words, two things. My spirit, in the Old Testament, was upon. In the New Testament, it is within. And my words, which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That's the covenant. Good evening, Mommy. You're welcome. That's the covenant that God made with us. It's a covenant that is administered through words. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10, you can see the end that God has in mind for that covenant. Hebrews 8, we read from verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. Next verse. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For what? All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Next verse. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know what God showed me there? He showed me that God has to write the covenant in our hearts. Even though you are saying the words, we know it's administered through words, you have to say the words, but it is God that actually does the actual writing. It's not automatic. So it is important that we understand that. So that the word, basically what God is saying here is that word must move from your mouth, from my mouth, from my head, to my heart, and from my heart into my feet, so that it becomes flesh, it comes alive through all we say, think, and do. And then we enforce that word in every situation. It is not the will of God for there to be a discordance between what is going on in our mouth and what is going on in our hearts. Look at Isaiah 29, verse 13. Isaiah 29, 13, quickly. Thank you. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart where far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. So it means that the heart doesn't necessarily move with the word, with the mouth. there is something that we have to do. It's our responsibility to make sure that the agreement between us and God is not partial, it's total. This is partial agreement. And that's what the Bible is showing us there. So God wants us to be fully persuaded. Bible says in Romans 14:5, he says, let every man be fully persuaded where? In his own mind. I want to, that's the word I just want to bring. This persuasion that pastor was talking about is in the mind. Is in the mind. You know, so you can say things your will, because we see that covenant is two things. It is a legal arrangement where you will to do certain things, just like you get married. But it's a will, it's a choice. But in the end, there's also a part of it that is harmony in opinion or feeling, which is in the mind. And both are important parts of the covenant. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We'll see an example from the fathers of faith. Verse 13 to 15. And these all died in faith. Let's read it together. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were what? Persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them. So the word is making a journey. It's making a journey. There's confession, there's embracing, but there is a persuasion in the mind. And it goes and says that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Next verse. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Next verse. And truly, let's again, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. It's a big statement. It means that what is in your mind can take you back. Your mind can open the door that you thought was shut. A door you shut with your will, your mind will open it. And if you're not careful, you will call it God, but it's actually your mind. We are self-deceived, you know, and that's what he's saying here, that if they have been, so what is in our mind is critical. That's what God is trying to say. So just to lay a foundation, we know that when we get born again, we're saved from going to hell. Amen. Bible says that John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God gave us his nature in our spirits, okay, and recreated our spirits, and that is to enable us to see in our mind, appreciate, understand, and apply spiritual truth. In John 3:3, let's look at John 3:3 very quickly. John 3:3, Bible says that except a man be born again, he cannot see. So being born again doesn't take you into the kingdom, it just allows you to now be able to see the kingdom. Amen. Okay, so that nature is on the inside. And like pastor was teaching us so powerfully from 2 Peter 1:3-5, last Bible study was so powerful. He was talking about God giving us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and was saying that God gave us life, and that life is producing godliness. So life is the substance, godliness is the effect, the transformation in our character that the substance produces. Okay, and he went on to say in verse 4, so whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the sin nature. So their loss, the sin nature, was the resident Lord before in the soul. And the sin nature has built affinities, likings. It has built alliances with thoughts, ideas, mindsets, over time before you got born again, and those alliances remain the way they are. So what God is saying now is that with our diligent cooperation, we can use both his word and his life, because that pastor is about life being Zoe, and when it comes into your heart, it's transformed into dunamis in the place of prayer and comes out as power, the same way you put diesel into a generator and it comes out as electrical power. You know, so the same way, if you put life into your heart with the word of God, he taught us that you can actually break the previous affinities in our soul, the previous alliances in our soul, and then build a fresh alliance with godliness, which is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. It's basically a way of thinking and a way of acting.
You know, okay, and that's
so that is what brings full agreement. So he described that process to us, that as we grow as Christians, this is how we're supposed to change. Being born again is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. God equipping us with his nature in our spirits, so that our spirits are born of God. That gives us ability to now receive right standing, which when we have through the blood of Jesus, we have right standing. We now receive the life of God through that right standing, and then we are able to now work on our souls, as it were, to be able to produce right doing. So the key here is that many times there can be a discordance, in which case, you know, your spirit is for God, but your soul is not for God. Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That's the story of the church as at now. But God is going to deliver us into his full liberty of sons of God in Jesus' name. But that's what we see now. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 16. It describes it very aptly. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 16. Thank you. When you we use this for people marrying people that are not born again, but it's way beyond that, brethren. It is something going on in your mind that your will does not agree with, that your spirit does not sanction, and you are allowing it to continue unchecked. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Of course, it manifests outside, but initially it begins inside. He said, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Next verse. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Next verse. And what agreement hath the temple of God with what? Idols. Where are the idols? They are in the mind. That's those are the things that I'm hindering the agreement. For ye are the temple of God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Satan knows that if he can't stop you from getting born again, he can work underground and make sure that in that mind, you know, those darkness, they exist. You know, and so we must go beyond where we have gone, you know, and begin to go and look out for those alliances. We need to look out for those agreements. We need to look out for those fellowships and break them. And then we can now espouse ourselves as a bride unto Christ. Amen. We join ourselves with what the word of God says. And look at, and I have two examples here very quickly. Israel asked God for a king. And what's the nine? Very good example. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. Israel asked God for a king. 1 Samuel 12, verse 12. 12. Quickly. Want to save time. And when you saw, let's read together. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. When he saw a king came against them to fight against them, instead of them to cry out on the Lord and, you know, and overcome, which they did overcome, but they were like, it's true, which we want a man to be our king. You know, copying the world, envying the world, not appreciating that we're supposed to set the pattern for the world to follow, but we ourselves are envying the world. It reminds me of a funny example. I use myself as an example. When I was young, and I was about 10 years old, you know, 10 somewhere there, maybe less than that, 8, 10 years old, somewhere there. I can't forget, because the reaction of everybody really stunned me. My mom was there, and my sister. My mom was making my sister's hair, you know, and, you know, we used to have a lot of help, male help around the house. You know, Monday, Sunday, Friday, you know, their names were different. Edits, you know, it used to change, you know. But the important thing was, we always liked them. I always liked them. I always had a good relationship with them. But, you know, after a while, they would go. You know, so I one day I asked my mom, I said, where did this uncle go? And my mom said, he's gone to university. And I said, okay. I said, okay, one day I will go and do my houseboy, then after that I'll go to university. You should have seen the reaction. My mommy said, God, cancel that. That one would not happen in Jesus' name. My sister was laughing, you know, and I said, I looked and said, what have I said that is wrong? I didn't know what I had. I didn't understand. So I thought my destiny was like theirs. I thought my path was like theirs. I didn't understand that my path was different. Because, you know, I just kept seeing them coming, going. So when this one went, I was going to university. So, okay, so that's the way to get to university. So I'm going to go that same way. My mom said, God forbid, you will not go that way. Say it, you will not go that way. They have been so violent. You know, and that's how we are sometimes. We envy the world. We want, that's like children of Israel. They wanted a king like everybody else. Verse 17. They wanted a king like everybody else. Next verse. Verse 17. Is not wheat harvest today? I will call upon unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. What action did they do? No wrong action. Wrong affinity. In the soul, liking the wrong thing, following the wrong pattern. God called it great wickedness, to the point that when they realized it, they fell on their face. Verse 19 and 20. Thank you Holy Spirit. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this great evil, to ask us a king. So that's an example. They were born again, they were children of God, but in their mind they were unequally yoked. They wanted to be like everybody else. Okay, now look at another example. Acts chapter 8. Okay, Acts chapter 8, we know the story of Simon. Look at verse 9 quickly. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used what? Sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. It's the same Simon. Verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. I want to just move to my highlight. Simon believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Born again. Baptized. You would have thought that everything is okay. Okay? No, everything is not okay. Look at verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he did what? Offered them money. The terrible thing is that in the church, this same thing is happening. People are merchandising the gospel. I know. Look at verse 19. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Money is everything. Everything is interpreted in money terms. So he wants to be able to lay hands on them, and to him, the way and the route is money. Of course, we know the story that Peter's reaction was very. The Bible says, I perceive you are. Says that money perish with thee. Oh, that God raise up ministry, and he's raising it up, that will say that thy money perish with thee, thy position perish with thee. It's not about money or position, but these are the things. You see, many times the old affinities in the soul, money, power, position, you know, influence, you know, they are already there, embedded in the soul. And it's our responsibility to recognize it and then break that alliance. Amen. And break that mindset, so that you can now be truly in our hearts and our minds, be espoused to Christ. Amen. Now, how does God want to do this? You know, if you look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Let's look at it. Proverbs 1, 8 to 9. Says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Next verse. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. The grace of God is coming to us in this day through said fathers and mothers that are in the church. And these are leaders who practice and teach spiritual law and instruction. It's very important that we understand that, because there are people that teach and don't practice, but there are people that actually practice and teach spiritual law and instruction. The Bible says in Ezra 7:10 that Ezra began to teach what he did. Okay, the Bible says of Lord Jesus Christ, the things that Jesus did and began to do and teach. Acts 1:1. Let's just look at that. Because Lord Jesus is like, okay, Ezra 7:10. He prepared his heart to seek the law of his God and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. There is a company of fathers that God is raising up who are doing and teaching spiritual law and instruction. And the Bible says that you should remember them. That is in our minds, in our hearts. We should esteem them highly. The Bible says that you should know them that labor among you and are over you and admonish you. And you should esteem them what? Very highly for their work's sake. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is extremely important. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 12 and 13. It's very important. So that we beseech you to know them. You have to know them. What's the first thing they do? They labor among you. They don't ask you to go back and labor and then they sit down. They labor among you. They are over you in the Lord. And they admonish you. And the Bible says, next verse. The Bible says that you, next verse please, that you esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. That's the way you have peace. That's when you esteem them very highly, then you have peace. Amen. And he goes on to tell us that if you look at Hebrews 13, verse 7 to 8, that you should consider their end. Hebrews 13, verse 7 to 8. Thank you. 13, 7 to 8. Yes. Hebrews 13, 7 to 8. Okay, right. Thank you. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have what? Spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Next verse. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, I never tied these two scriptures together. What God is actually saying is that you are supposed to follow them because they represent Jesus to you. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So if you remember them and you follow their example, you will end up where Jesus ended up. Because they are following Jesus ahead of you. The two scriptures are linked. They are followers of those who do faith and patience inherit. So, but you know, they are linked in the sense that Jesus is in them. That's what he's saying. Jesus is in them. Of course, they are not Jesus, but there is a Christ in them that is growing and is more mature than the Christ in you. So he's saying that if you see them, someone who has a more mature form of Jesus Christ, follow him. That's what he's saying. As the follow Christ. Amen. Because it's important that you follow them as the follow Christ. Alright, so now these fathers speak the word of God unto us. That's why I brought out this scripture. They speak the word of God unto us. And when they do that, sometimes we don't see what they say. We may not see what they say. Sometimes we may not even understand what they say. Sometimes, many times, we may not agree with what they say. But what we think or do next, however, is extremely vital. Because you must remember that they represent Jesus to us. So you can't afford to despise, reject, or reason away what they have said, especially when they show you from the Word of God. I mean, if you've proven their lies, because the Bible talks about by their fruit you shall know them. Talking about the fruit of good treasure, deep revelation knowledge, talking about their character, okay? There are things you're looking for in them to identify them. But once you've identified them, when they speak to you, it is in your own and my own interest to take what they say and keep it and hide it in your heart. Amen. So that you know you don't allow the devil to reason you out of it, because he does that, or to make you despise it or reject it. You know, and if you look at an example, if you look at Jonah, in Jonah in chapter 1, God spoke to Jonah. You may say, I'm not doing this. I better be careful. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Says, arise. Give me verse 1, so we can know that it was God that spoke. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Now, knowing the word of God comes to us through our fathers. To you, now he could have spoken to Jonah direct, but before God talks to you directly, he will talk to you through his sons. He will talk to you through fathers. Bible says, we are not faithful in that which is another man's. Who is it that will give you that which is your own? God didn't talk to Samuel directly. He spoke through Eli. And then when Samuel was found faithful in listening and obeying Eli, then God spoke to Samuel directly. So there's a principle there. So it's very important. So God spoke to him. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for thy wickedness has come up before me. Next verse. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why did Jonah do that? Jonah chapter 4 verse 2. It was, you know, these things, sometimes they are deeply embedded in our hearts. We don't speak them out. You know, but sometimes circumstances bring it up. So God wanted Jonah to know exactly what was in his heart. Look at it. And he prayed unto the Lord. This is Jonah 4:2. Well, after God had spared the people of Nineveh, this is his prayer. And said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Did he say it with his mouth? No. Where was he saying it? In his heart. When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that you would disappoint me. I knew that you are a gracious God. You are merciful. You are slow to anger. And you can just forgive these people of Nineveh. And all my words will not come to pass. May God have mercy on us. But may we not have prophets who are more interested in their word coming to pass than the will of God being done. Amen. Destiny is being fulfilled. That's what, but you can see his heart here. So Jonah was a prophet. He wasn't just born again yesterday. He was a prophet. He had some measure of maturity, you know, and this was where he was looking deep in his heart. So you and I have to look deep into our hearts. Amen. We must remove human reasoning, pride, willful ignorance, and stubbornness from our hearts. Amen. Now, why is this important? Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. Proverbs 19, 26 and 27. Why is this important? Let's read it together. He that wasteth his father. I didn't hear you reading. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Next verse. Cease, my son, to hear instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. The two of them are linked. Before you cease to hear instruction, you would have been chasing your father. Yes, go back to the previous verse. How do you chase? When your father gives you instruction, your mother gives you correction. You know, all of us know our mother. When you hear your name, Kule. You know, there's a way they call your mind to call your full name. Like, you know, it's already, but your father doesn't do that much, but he gives instruction. So he's talking, say, when you waste your father, you cast instruction behind you. So you waste the instruction that he's giving you. That's how you waste your father. You don't take what he's saying seriously. And you chase away your mother. You don't chase them away with a broom. No, you have more sense than that. You won't do that. What do? You keep your distance on certain things you don't want to have their input on. You know, you stay away. You stay far away. You understand? You stay away because you don't want any correction. You know, so you don't tell all the way it is. That's how you stay away. You and the Bible says that you cause shame and bring reproach. You will not cause him and bring reproach in Jesus' name. But those that do this will have shame and reproach. Look at, give us in the Amplified, just to have a look at it. So what are we saying? We are saying that, yes, Amplified chases away his mother. Yes, son of next verse. Seize my son to hear instruction only to ignore it and stray from the words of knowledge. So you can hear something and yet later ignore it. This is what God is saying. That if you quit listening and strike over, you will soon be out of your depth. But the point is this, that everybody say attitude. So our attitude to our fathers affects what we do with the instruction and the correction that we receive. Very important. That's the point. And Bible says that glory is really the reward. You know, Pastor has shared the scripture with us several times. Even Pastor Zay shared it about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, that we have been called to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are called. We have the covenant is designed to give you and I glory. Glory in the sense that we have the spirit without measure, we have the mind of Christ, and then we have incredible supernatural power at our disposal, the fullness of God. Amen. All right. So that glory is the reward that we get for following our fathers. Now, if you cease to hear instruction from fathers, then you can forfeit the glory. We will not forfeit glory in Jesus' name. And this is where Pastor is talking about full persuasion. It's very important that we understand that. One example here that comes to mind is John the Baptist. The Bible says in Luke 1:17 that John the Baptist was supposed to walk in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, but he only walked in the spirit of Elijah. He did walk in the power. So he received the instruction, but later he didn't do it. He said it himself, that this person that is coming, I am not worthy to unlatch his shoes. He must increase and I must decrease. And when the time came to decrease, he did not decrease. So brethren, there is something you and I need to do. We need to be aggressive to kill, crucify these attitudes. Otherwise, they will rob us of the glory God intended. They will not be robbed in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's so important. And the ultimate thing is, because when we don't have the glory, then the world can ask, where is our God? Look at John the Baptist's example. The way he finished, you would ask, where is his God? That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But the point is that we have to crucify attitudes inside that hinder us from allowing the word of God to take its place in our lives. Amen. Number two, further down in Proverbs 19, is that we invite unnecessary affliction when we reject instruction from God. Jonah did not have to go to Nineveh in the belly of a whale. He didn't have to travel like that. You can imagine it wasn't funny, traveling like that. But sometimes when we don't do, when we don't obey instruction, because many times when instruction comes, brethren, we don't know what's behind it. You don't see what is behind it. You don't understand the implications behind it. All you know is that I was given this instruction. So it's important to always take instruction very seriously. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 28 and 29. Just to turn there. It says, an ungodly witness. An ungodly. So the key here is ungodly. An ungodly witness
scorneth judgment. Judgment here is talking about counsel and no advice, instruction. And the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Next verse. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools.
We will not be fools in Jesus' name. We will not be scorners in Jesus' name. But what's saying is that you attract unnecessary judgment. And why? Because once you go out of the light, you are already in darkness. And when you are in darkness, you are going to stumble and you are going to attract satanic attention. Okay, and he's going to want to take advantage of that. Definitely. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 14 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Yes, let's read it again. Say, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. For on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is what? Glorified. So there is a suffering, like Pastor said, there is a suffering that we have to bear and accept. Amen. In order to become more like God. Bible says dying to self. Okay, we accept it because we understand that God is using it to legally be able to put Satan away, and then, you know, because he has to prove intent that Satan wants to harm us and wants to hurt us, and then of course God is using it to perfect us. So there is that part. Look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. This is not part of the suffering. Next verse. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. There is a suffering that attracts glory. Amen. And there is a suffering that you are suffering for nothing. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I must understand, it is in the light of the word that fathers bring that we see light. That's how Psalm 36 verse 9 says that it's in their light that we see light. So, it is when we get the light through them, we get light from them, what we do with the light is extremely important. It's extremely important what we do with the light. So otherwise, if you don't use the light, then what happens is that, you know, after a while, Bible says in John 12:35. Let's look at it. John 12:35. The light is not with you permanently. If you don't use it when you are, let's read that. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness what? Come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. Bottom line is that if you are walking in darkness, you cannot fulfill your destiny. If you are walking in darkness, you cannot be in agreement with God. If you are walking in darkness, you cannot end up where Jesus ended up. Amen. That's what he's saying to us. So light is not, Bible says, a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Titus chapter 3. So God will come and you hear the light, and you have some time X, to do something with the light. Amen. And if you don't do something with the light, then after a while you walk in darkness and you don't even know that you're walking in darkness. You think you're walking in light. Amen. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. You know, and I have here, you know, don't wait until some difficult situation comes before you start walking in the light. You know, because if you look at Jonah in chapter 2, God is showing us Jonah's life today. Jonah chapter 2 verse 3. Give me verse 1. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Next verse. And said, I cried. Travail.
I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and he heard my voice. My question is, why didn't you cry earlier? When he said go, and you knew you are not inclined to go, why didn't you cry? To deliver you from this desire not to go, or this idea that, I already know the end of what is going to happen. You know that thing happens to us sometimes. You still look at the situation and you already think, this is what is going to happen. And you're not God. I'm not God. Pastor often tells us, he says, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, sir. Are you God? No, sir. you know. It strikes your thinking. It's true. I don't know. So let's wait until tomorrow, then we know what tomorrow is going to bring. Amen. No, but many times this is presumption. He's looking at the end and he's assuming this is what he's going to do. So he went and went to Tarshish. That was when he should have prayed with travail. And he would have saved himself traveling in the belly of a whale. You can imagine that kind of journey. In a black, dark night, on a tumultuous sea, being tossed overboard, you and your two heirs, and then you get swallowed up by a fish that was told, swallow but don't bite, and it kept you in one corner. So every other food that is eating is hitting your head. As he eats one, it will hit your head. Why won't you cry out? No. Everything, the smell, the stench, the fish will bop now. And the whole bop will just come like perfume. God. Jonah cried. But I put it to you that he could have done this earlier. And he could have ended up in Tarshish on a ship without any of this. So brethren, let's obey instruction. Do you travail? If you travail, do you travail consistently? Is it your habit? There's some of us that don't pray with travail. We pray in tongues. Now, of course, there's a place where you're growing because there's seven pillars of instruction. So, God, you start with the minimum. But by reason of time, we should move beyond the minimum. And that's what God is saying. Because until you travail, you will not be able to pull down those strongholds, those ideas, those affinities and likes and desires. Some of them we don't even know we have. They're there. Amen. So the earlier we obey, the better for us. The Bible says in verse 8, further down, says they that observe lying vanities. That's what happens. That's why the affliction comes. When you observe lying vanities, you forsake the mercy that God appointed to take you from point A to point B, to move you forward in the things of God. We forsake it when we are looking in the wrong direction. So brethren, we must be looking at the word of God. Look at instruction. Look at correction. If you are mindful, because we all get corrected. If you are mindful of the correction, God will speak to you. But if you are mindful of your own righteousness or the defense that we all have a defense attorney, that your defense attorney gave you, if you think about that all the time, you won't say anything wrong in what you did. There is no way to say anything wrong in what you did. So what you are mindful in your mind is extremely important. That's what God is telling us in this day, in this hour. Amen? All right. So how then? Okay, then the last one, which is, I think, more severe, is that we can be shaken by heresies. We will not be shaken in Jesus' name. But if you don't do what God asks you to do, many times things that if you don't walk in the truth, then a lie can sweep you off your feet. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2. It's written to us in this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Thank you. Give us verse 2. Thank you. Grace unto you and peace. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Next verse. That you be not soon shaken, where? In mind. Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand.
It's very important what he's saying here. He's saying that we should not allow ourselves to be moved by what you're hearing. No, when I say what you're hearing, now what you see around. No, what you hear around, as opposed to the instruction that God has given and what God is saying in his word, that the day of Christ is at hand. Oh, no, you hear contrary information to what the Bible says and what your destiny, the destiny that has been preached to you through spiritual fathers. That's what he's saying here. Now you be careful. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Because if you keep listening, that says, even him, talking about Satan, whose coming is after the working of Satan, that's the Antichrist spirit, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Next verse. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Next verse. And for this cause God shall send them what? Strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. This will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. We will not believe a lie, but you need to do something with the truth. Amen. Amen. It's very important that we allow the truth to be mixed in our hearts and in our souls. Amen. All right. So how then do we do this? How then do we walk in this? Number one, of course, we know the instructions that we've been given. The instruction is that we use the weapons of our warfare. What are the weapons of our warfare? The blood of Jesus Christ, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we use those three to pray with all kinds of prayer in order to be able to crucify the flesh and cleanse out the sin nature from our souls and bodies and pump the life and the power of God into our souls. So we are meek and lowly. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. This is extremely important. This is, if you're doing this, then you should be encouraged that you're doing the right thing. Amen. You know, and that's part of why this word has come, to encourage us to keep doing the right thing. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness, where? In the fear of God. The promises he spoke about in 2 Peter, of life and godliness. Those promises, having those promises, you know, being that Bible says, be holy as I am holy. So I say I am holy. I can be holy. Amen. Because the Bible says, be holy as I'm holy. I'm not going to believe the one that says that, no, you know, we are in this flesh. You know, while we are in this flesh, there's no way we can. Why should I believe that? But you know, if I don't walk in this, and the be holy and other scriptures that are like that, I will believe this lie. This lie that this thing cannot work. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But the essence of using these weapons of our warfare is that we need to fight. We need to fight to be able to overcome wicked spirits in the air, you know, and their influence around our lives. Amen. And then be able to pull down and destroy the works that they have put there already before we got born again. Very important. You have to destroy that thing. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I'm just showing you scriptures, you know, that point to this. Verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Quicken, which means give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, like Pastor Dave was preaching on Sunday, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Next verse. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the spirit do what? Kill. That's another word. The deeds of the body, you shall what? Live. That's the will of God for us. Amen. This is how to live. Christians that are not doing this are not living. They're not living. This is how to live. This is God's prescription about how to live. Amen. And then we can then become what Jesus said. Look at Matthew 11, 20 to 30. We can begin to follow what Jesus said. Mark,
Matthew 11, 20 to 30. 11, 28 to 30. The popular scripture says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." That's the yoke of eternal life. "And learn godliness of me." The same thing he's saying in 2 Peter. You know, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." When you begin to obey these instructions, what they begin to do is that they make you weak, more meek and lowly. Amen. So that you can now, you and I can receive more and more of the mercy. Meekness, you know, is teachability that allows you to receive more of the mercy of God. Lowliness is humility. Meekness is teachability to receive the instruction. Lowliness is the willingness and the power to do the instruction. Amen. All right. So that's extremely important. Then the next thing is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this is something that, you know, from Mommy's message on Sunday, when Mom was talking about you know, greater works, pain to power, you know, it struck me, you know, the Holy Spirit is a person. And many times, because of his nature, we can run off. We can run off and we do everything, all the knowledge that you have, you can be operating it, you and yourself alone. You know, and you are not doing it with the person. And he's not there, you know, to the degree that he should be, in the way that he should be. You know, so we need to, because you know, every law, all the Bible says the law of the Spirit of life. This whole law belongs to one person, God. It's God that works the law. So you cannot, you cooperate with him, but you cannot do it by yourself. Definitely not. Look at Psalm 16, verse 1. It's very important that we appreciate this. "Preserve me, O God." You can't preserve yourself, oh. Not in this world, in this day. You can know everything, and yet it won't work. Because it's attitude. Mercy and grace. "Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I what? Put my trust." That's where your trust should be. Not in your head or what you know, but in the God that is able to make what you know work. Next verse. "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extended not to thee." You know, if you are good, it is to men. It is not to God. Relative to God, we are not good. Jesus Christ said, only God is good. You must always remember that, you know. No matter how many victories you have, no matter how many times you do things well, you still need God. The very next time you want to do that thing, you can't do it on your own. You still need him more than ever before. Let's jump to verse 8. "I have set the Lord always." It's not sometimes. It's not occasionally. It's not when I'm praying publicly with people. When do I set the Lord before me? When do I set the Lord before me? Always before me. "Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Next verse. He is the guarantee that we will not be moved. Amen. "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, my flesh also shall rest in hope." Next verse. "For thou wilt not leave my soul." Where? And now this one was going to hell for Jesus, but the hell of have been ungodly. That's what is the hell of remaining the same in your mind. Bible says God will not leave my soul in hell. He will not leave your mind in hell. He will not leave my mind in hell. He will allow more of the law to be written on our minds, in our hearts. Amen. "Neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Where? In our body. So God is the Holy Spirit is the one ensuring that this thing works for us. Amen. And ensuring that all we do is taking us further and further every day. It's very important. Amen. That relationship aspect is key. It's critical. Next verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand there what? Pleasures forevermore. If you have the real, the counterfeit will not be attractive. Remember the scripture mommy read on Sunday, Psalm 73, man. When he said, when did David really know their end? When he went where? Into his presence in the sanctuary. He had to go deeper. And when he got in deeper, in that place of relationship, then God opened his eyes and said, look, these people that you are envying, that you are feeling bad, look, this is their end. It is when you go into God's sanctuary that you will not want to be a houseboy. That's when you don't want to be. You will not be a servant to sin. You're calling what? You know, because they boast in their shame. They boast in the things that the things that show that they are still bound to the things of this world. They boast in it. No, so why do you want to be like them? Because you don't understand. And you're not close enough in the sanctuary to the Holy Spirit. That's why. So in his presence there is fullness of joy. And the real pleasures, that's where they are. Amen. And when you have the real pleasures, you can see through the fake. You can see through the fake. You can see that, it's not worth it. You can make the choices you need to make. You can ask for the things you need to ask. But if God gave you a blank check, what will you ask for? The big question. But what determines all you ask for is how close are you to the Holy Spirit at that time? That's what's going to happen. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's move on quickly as we round up. And then the next thing is we must respond quickly to the Word of God. Very quickly to the Word of God. You know, if you look at the story in John 24, I'm not going to turn there for time, but if you look at the story of Peter and John, when they ran to the tomb, you know, the first person to get there was John. But John stopped and stood at the entrance. Then Peter came and entered. And Peter looked and saw that the linen cloth had been folded and put at the head and all that. And Peter was looking and was wondering. Then John came in after Peter, and Bible says he believed. Brethren, be quick to believe. That's what God, be quick to believe. You hear a prophetic word, be quick to believe. Align your will with it. You know, because you know, as the Bible says further on, you know, Jesus Christ said, everybody will deny me. Or I mean, when he was talking about it, you know, when they were just coming out of Gethsemane, that, you know, smite the shepherd, you know, and all of you will flee from me. And that. And Peter said, no, I will not. And all that. But in the end, John went in to where Jesus was. He went in. In fact, in trying to help Peter, he attracted attention to Peter. Because when he was now trying to help Peter, to bring Peter in, the girl at the gate said, ah, I know you. That was the first denial. Then there was a soldier like him. Ah, you stroll, you speak like him. Your speech betrayed you. He denied the second time. But John was, and the Bible says, the high priest knew John. Yet, John went in. God will make us Johns in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be able to go in. You know, it's quick to believe. You know, and allowing the master's heart to be your heart. You know, what is important to the master to be important to us. Amen. Amen. And it comes with it's exercise. It's a continuous exercise, and we learn from our mistakes. So I mean, you may not be perfect, but the important thing is to keep learning. Amen. Be ready to learn and practice in the little things. So when it comes to the things that matter the most, you will be ready. Amen. God is not the kind of person that allows you to just face an exam like that. There would have been little things to prepare you. There was lion, there was the bear, then there was Goliath. So God is not unrighteous. So he will always allow us to know. But you know, for example, you know, if you look, the word of God, for example, mommy gave us a word that was over a week ago now, during intercession on Tuesday, that we're going to witness the favor, the goodness, the restoration, the blessings, the fruitfulness, you know, of God, and also witness the vengeance of the Lord upon our enemies and those that trouble us in Zion. I want to ask you,
What have you done with that word since you heard it? We've just heard it. It's very important, you know. You don't just hear. You write it down. You believe. You begin to say it. You begin to think it. You begin to look forward to it happening. Amen. Because that's faith. Don't be passive. Be active. See, this is the will of God. Okay, it's extremely important. And I take you back to the instruction when Pastor was preaching about the life of God being manifest in our mortal body. He shared from us from Proverbs 20. You know everything he said there. You know, I just want to take us to very quickly because he's already taught us. So I just mentioned it very quickly. Proverbs 4 verse 20. Quickly, talking about the word of God, because we're talking about believing the word quickly. So it says attend. So you pay attention to it. You read your Bible. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, these are the sayings of fathers. He explained that to us very clearly. So, when fathers teach us, you take notes. You know, you check your notes. Don't just take it for taking sake. You check the notes. You go by, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Pray under your breath. Check the scripture. Amen. All right? So that God can talk to you. Next verse. And this means that we must come to church. I mean, you cannot incline your ear to the sayings if you miss church regularly. There'll be some things that you miss. So it's important. Bible says that much the more so as the day is approaching, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. Alright. So we let them not depart from our eyes. We keep them in the midst of our hearts. Study. Talking about study. Amen. It's very important. Alright. Okay. Let's go on to the next scripture. For they are what? Life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Now, this is extremely important. When it says that these confessions, all these things, they bring life, power, put it that way, power into the soul. Now, the question is, what happens to the power in the soul? Next verse, verse 22. For they are life to the... No, verse 23 now. Says, keep thy heart with what? All diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The word and the life that is in the soul. You now use it with self-judgment. Examine your thoughts. Examine your hearts. No, this is better when the Holy Spirit helps us. This is my own personal experience. When you do it by yourself, when you think that you are doing it by yourself, you know, many times you just stray off and you stop doing it. And you don't know that you stop doing it. But if you're in a relationship with a person, the Holy Spirit will remind you. He will correct you. Do you understand? So he's because he's watching out for us. Amen. We're walking together with him. So the Holy Spirit will help us to keep our heart. Bible says, I the Lord try the hearts. So many times some things you cannot see. It's God that will tell you, this is wrong. This is bad. You need to work on this. Like children of Israel, they asked for a king. They didn't know it was, to them, it wasn't bad. They were like everybody else. But God called it great wickedness. Amen. So what are the great wickednesses that we are doing that we don't really know that we are doing? Because they didn't kill anybody. They didn't do anything to anybody. It wasn't the moral thing. It was about godliness, about having the mind of God, the heart of God. You know what is important to God. Amen. So that's important, because when you judge yourself and you examine yourself, you can remove the things that are self, and then you can receive the things that are God. Amen. That's the will of God for us. That's how to remove. And if you look at 1 John chapter 2, you see this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John 2, verse 24. All right. 1 John 2, verse 24. Thank you. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. What did you receive at the beginning? Eternal life. So all those ones where he was talking about attend to your word, all those things is all about keeping the commandment, keeping the instructions, so that life can be in you. If that which you heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Amen. Next verse. That's through your relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right. Next verse.
Next verse. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. But says they are life for those that find them. Next verse. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Thoughts, feelings, imaginations. No, he's talking about people too, but you talk, let, look at the spiritual part first, because if you deal with that one, when the people come, you will see them clearly. Okay, next verse. But the anointing which you have received of him, what? Abided where? In you, our soul. That you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as he has taught you, you shall what? Abide in him. This is it. Notice that he's not talking about the fact that you don't need anybody to teach you, because it says the anointing which you have received of him. So you must have received something from someone before. But now he's talking about the fact that there's some levels of things that Satan will not be able to deceive us about. There's some things that you can fish out of your heart by yourself and say, ah, this thing is wrong. Amen. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide where? In him. That when he shall what? Appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Brethren, we will not be ashamed, because we will have his glory. His glory will be upon us in Jesus' name. And finally, be obedient. Be obedient. We need to be obedient. The things that he says to us, do it. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. God does not want to be ashamed. Doesn't want us to be ashamed. We need to look out for the things that seduce, distract, deceive, and that affect our persuasion. So we're not in full agreement with God. In our wills, in our minds, and our emotions. The unequal yoke, where our will is saying one thing, and our minds and our feelings are at total variance, or are not saying exactly the same thing. We need to go back to our relationship with the Holy Spirit and ask him to help us personally to root out those things that offend, the ones we see and the ones that we cannot see, to open our eyes. To use the blood, the word, and the spirit to break those alliances and affinities and fellowships and agreements. And concord with ungodliness. So that we can truly be sons and daughters of the Almighty. So he will live in us. He will walk in us. He will move in us. And we'll be sons and daughters of the Almighty. Father, I worship you out of my spirit. Blessing and thanking you in my own way.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you've sent to us today to tell us that we need you more than ever before in order to be able to fulfill the glorious destiny that you have ordained for us. Father, I acknowledge and submit myself to the friendship and the lordship of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you afresh into my life, day by day, moment by moment. Teach me, Lord, your ways. Teach me diligence so that I will operate the law of the Spirit of life and cooperate with you diligently so that you may write upon my heart, my will, my mind, my emotions, and in my body, the law of God, and inscribe your commandments upon my mind, even the commandment of divine love, so that I will love love, I will practice love diligently, I will judge myself, examine myself, walk circumspectly in your presence as you teach me, so that every enemy that is within, that is hindering the move that you are about to do in my heart and life will be removed, so that my sacrifice of my life, of my will, of my mind, of my emotions, of my body will be acceptable, and you will be able to consume this sacrifice with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray in the spirit. Jafreke kobanga rababas matakosea jafreke komba rapakaka keko shekede bebeso rapakaka jengaras mapekao robokoan rapaketanto sekede bebeta rapakaso sekede bebesa jekanos rapakan kegono reganat ropeyat jekenobes rono rapakaka kosea jakadia romakea rapakanto zenebea Renenevetoman, Renenevekana, Rabakatombea, Rabakaka, Zeson Bande Keko, Angenama Tombe Kaul Kaka, Rabapapa Kanga Kokombe, Jeka Kangalea, Rabapo, Rabakaso, Jekele, Kengale, Renele, Belelava, Renelevea, Rene, Belelevantamba, Rekevat, Zoberio, Ronde Besata, Jefrekeno, Ronde Bebedikekedevama. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed Father, we confess our sins, so we cleanse with the blood from all unrighteousness.